The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
It is unbelievable, some of the rhetoric that I am hearing and reading today on this election day. We're going to slice through all of it for you here. Welcome to The Big Show. We're coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, streaming on Facebook Live, and it's another very busy news afternoon. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Well, it is election day. You still have several hours to get in your ballot if you agree with me on all issues. If you don't agree with me, then you have much better things to do with your time this afternoon than to waste it filling out a ballot and going and dropping it off in a box. But if you agree with me, you still have time to get your votes in. I've been looking at so much of the coverage, and the thing that jumped out at me today is the column in the Seattle Times. They have a new social justice columnist at the Seattle Times, and the headline is, "Some elections are about issues. This one's about the soul of the country." And so what the columnist is saying is that if you vote Democrat today, then you are saving the soul of the country. And he talks about how horrible Trump is and, you know, how stupid Trump supporters are and all of that because they voted for such a horrible, evil man. And he writes, "We have to be crystal clear, above all, about what kind of country we should be. We have to show Trump that America is ours. By voting, we'll decide what it looks like, who's welcome and who's not, what we hold most dear, and what we expect as a leader. If there was ever a time to let your vote be driven by your own moral outrage, it's right now. Whether you're on the left and mad as hell, on the right and disaffected, in the center and undecided, or just haven't cared much about politics in the past." But what he makes it clear is that he believes to save the soul of the country, you have to vote Democrat and all left-wing causes. You know, for the carbon tax and the anti-cop initiative and all the other things locally. If you want to save the soul of the country. And I will tell you right now, if you turn to politics or to politicians for soul saving, you're probably beyond redemption because you are looking in the wrong place. And I'm talking about both parties because politicians are, for the most part, soulless. Their reason for being is to get enough money to buy enough votes so they can get as much power and control and surround themselves with lackeys. They are not in it for altruistic reasons. And look, I could come up with a list of Republicans who have done bad things and who have lied. I mean, because I think most politicians, regardless of party, do. But given that this column today and the whole message of this election is that by voting for Democrats and for leftist causes, that you are saving the soul of the country, it just strikes me as ignorance for people who believe that. If you believe that a politician can help set our soul straight, the only person who can set your soul straight is you. And when you're voting for a party, and like I said, I'm just rebutting this column, so I'll focus on the main point here, which is you got to vote Democrat to save souls. So that means you're voting for the party of Hillary, who, you know, still today defends her husband sodomizing an intern. The party of Elizabeth Warren, who lied about her ethnicity so she could climb the professional ranks. You're voting for the party of Maxine Waters, who said to shout down and publicly confront those who are different from you politically. The party of Barack Obama, who told people that with Obamacare. You keep your doctor. Your premiums will go down. Look what's happening in Washington State. This week, people on Obamacare have seen another massive rate hike. He said the average family would save $2,000. The average family is now paying more than $3,500 more a year. That's a $5,500 a year lie that was told. Hundreds of billions of dollars in total for a political cause, but a lie was told. Is that saving our soul? The party of Jay Inslee, let's go local here, who came on this show and lied to you and me, said he wouldn't raise taxes as governor, and is rated the worst governor in the country by the Cato Institute on tax hikes and public spending, costing people of our state tens of billions of dollars because candidate Jay Inslee had to lie so he could become governor Jay Inslee. The party of Bob Ferguson, who puts politics above the law and above the state constitution and has become a pit bull attack dog against anybody in the center or on the right and becomes a defense mechanism for people of his party. We're saving your soul, according to this columnist, if you vote for the party of the Seattle City Council, which worked feverishly to keep an accused child rapist in the mayor's office, which continues to have throughout the staff of the council dozens of people making six figures who were Ed Murray's child rape enablers. You're voting for the party of Ed Murray, who consistently lied about the massive evidence that almost certainly proved he was a child rapist. You're voting for the party of Sound Transit, which has been a 25-year criminal conspiracy that's going to take $100 billion from the people of this state for an obsolete mode of transportation that has done nothing by their own admission to alleviate gridlock. And you're voting for the party of Mike O'Brien and the rest of the city council, which has policies that have brought criminal drug addict rapists and murderers to our region who have littered our streets with human addicts, vagrants from around the country, all because of their failed policies. So when I read a column in the Seattle Times that says, you got to vote Democrat to save the soul of our country, Republicans aren't going to redeem your soul, but I guarantee you, Democrats and the list of people I just went down, I just barely scratched the surface. I guarantee you that they are not going to save our soul either. And the fact that some people are so blind, you see, I happen to be a little bit cynical about all politics, because I know the kind of people who go into that profession. We used to have, when you read some of the brilliance, the genius of our founding fathers, and I've read a lot about, 100 years later, the debate over the 14th Amendment, which has brought us birthright citizenship. And by the way, I've been studying that the last couple of days. There's no way that Trump can overturn the 14th Amendment with an executive order. I read an incredible scholarly analysis of that. But it involved a lot of the public debate that was engaged in 150 years ago when that amendment was added. But I just see the sheer brilliance of the people who went into politics when our country was founded and for 100 years after that, maybe 150 years. But then it became this cesspool that we have now. There's not brilliance. There's ego. There are people who are just driven by their mad desire for power. I'm going to talk later this afternoon about Jay Inslee and everything he's doing to run for president in 2020. Anybody think that that's sincere? Anybody think that that's for the betterment of mankind? Anybody think that the initiative 1631 that he's pushing that'll cost the citizens of this state billions of dollars for nothing in return as far as global warming or climate change? He's doing that because he wants to take billions and billions of dollars from us so he can burnish his reputation when he goes out on the campaign trail in 2020. And everybody knows that that's what it's about. He's willing to screw people out of billions of dollars so that he can help his presidential aspirations. So, excuse me when I read a Seattle Times column that says today's election is about the soul of this country. I don't think that Trump's election in 2016 helped the soul of this country. And if there is any extent of a blue wave, or if the Democrats take the House, or if they get the long shot and take the Senate, that's not going to redeem our nation's soul either. Because politicians are not what it's about. Your soul is about you. Your soul is about how you treat other people. It's about the way you live your life. And anybody who thinks that casting a ballot for the type of people that I just mentioned, for their party, that that is redemptive in any way, you're lost. You are so lost. It's incredible if you truly believe that. So, Seattle Times, spare me your moralizing about how righteous and virtuous the left is. And the Democratic Party, because I got a long list that proves you wrong. Speaking of which, next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
You just heard in Ursula's newscast, the CEO of the most criminal public agency in the history of the United States of America, Sound Transit, which, as I told you, $100 billion it'll siphon off from taxpayers in its existence. Sound Transit is $500 million over budget going to the east side. Nearly $1 billion over budget going to Linwood. And they haven't laid an inch of track beyond Northgate. That will skyrocket. They're already billions and billions of dollars over budget on their initial phase. They haven't even completed what they promised the voters in 1996 when they said they would get to the U District in 10 years. And here we are 22 years later, and they made it to Husky Stadium, but still haven't gotten to the U District as promised. They are tens of billions of dollars over budget. They are more than a decade behind schedule. They have a mode of transportation that will be completely obsolete by the time this thing is finished, because trains are a 19th century mode of transportation. And when Sound Transit is built out, we're going to have electric autonomous vehicles making our existing roads so efficient that we will actually be able to relieve gridlock through the private market. So, decade behind schedule, billions of dollars over budget on pretty much every phase they go, every direction they go. Peter Rogoff, who had to have a personal coach to teach him how to be an executive because they said he was so abusive in the office. They had to hire a trainer for this guy who was making over $300,000 a year to teach him how to be a manager. And now we have just found out that the Sound Transit Board is giving or considering, almost certain to give, an 11% pay increase. So Peter Rogoff will now be making $364,000 to head up the criminal conspiracy that is Sound Transit. What does it take in government to not be considered a wild success? I mean, you give somebody an 11% pay increase, you must think that they are doing a bang-up job. But when you're billions over budget, a decade behind schedule, You're abusive to the people who work under you and the Sound Transit Board. But the Sound Transit Board, let's be very clear about this. It's mainly elected officials in suburban towns who have been added to that board because they need to be on track so that they can continue this ripoff and destroying communities. And I've talked about in my neighborhood, what they are planning in my neighborhood is going to destroy the fabric of a community in which I've lived for more than 30 years. But they have to get the elected officials for all these surrounding towns on the board, and then the board just rubber stamps the criminality of this agency. And so Peter Rogoff, who's in bed with King County exec Dow Constantine, you know, he was going to host a fundraiser for the King County exec, who's supposed to be a watchdog of our money. And Rogoff was going to host a fundraiser for the King County exec at his Queen Anne mansion until people said, that violates ethic rules. You can't do that. So he's going to get an 11% raise to $364,000 a year, plus some bonuses on top of that. What does it take for government to say your work's not good enough when you are tens of billions of dollars over, tens of billions over budget? Oh, they did a reset. Oh, I forgot. Oh, they're not. They're on time and on budget. They did a reset. Sorry, I forgot about the reset. But if you vote for the party that has been the party of Sound Transit, at least you'll be saving our soul. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Hey, on this election day, you know who I'm going to talk to? I'm going to reach across the aisle because I'm so obsessed with fairness. I'm going to talk right after the news to a professional wrestler who wrestles in Trump country, the reddest of red states, as the progressive liberal. See what he has to say coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I've been fascinated to talk with this guy, and on election day, when all of the country is so focused on what's going on politically, I saw this man profiled on The Daily Show, on Vice, on HBO. He is known as the progressive liberal, a professional wrestler, and he told Vice the difference between wrestling and politics.
But now with Dan, the enemy comes from inside America. And Donald Trump plays that up too.
But when I see him tweet, when I see him say something, I know he's doing the same thing that we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's to rile people up.
Oh, he's so good at reading the crowd.
Yeah, he knows his audience.
Do you think politics is becoming more like professional wrestling?
The whole world is. Because it's used to make money. You know, wrestling's the only people stupid enough to tell them it was predetermined.
Daniel Richards is the progressive liberal, and he joins us here on Cairo Radio. Daniel, great to talk to you, man.
Good to be here, Dory. I think people right now listening to my voice probably recognize that wasn't me speaking on that last part. That was eloquently put by Bo James, who's a friend and mentor of mine.
One of your wrestling practice partners. I was thinking about this, Daniel, because you and I are like mirror images of each other. You go through Trump country, you wrestle in the reddest states as the progressive liberal. Here I am in one of the most progressive liberal cities in the country, Seattle, and for 24 years I've been kind of the libertarian conservative guy. Do you like going against the grain? Do you like being the guy that everybody loves to hate?
Well, the thing is that, Dory, they make it pretty easy in these red states because while they like to throw around buzzwords like snowflake at me, the buzzword I can use for them is that they're easily triggered. So it doesn't take a lot to get them worked up. And, you know, over this this year especially, it seems to have gotten worse. Like more and more of these people hear what I say and they try to climb over the guardrail to try and fight me. I've had old grannies cuss me out, and but I get a kick out of it.
I saw you, I don't know if it was a school event, but it was in a gymnasium, and the kids looked like they were, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 years old, and they're all chanting Trump while you're up in the ring wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's stuff that's been indoctrinated into them with, through their parents, because, I mean, children are influenced by their parents, unfortunately. So we have a long way to go with states in the South, I think, before we have any kind of intellectual revolution, because it just that kind of ignorance, in my opinion, is passed down from generation to generation.
Well, and you see, that's what's odd, Daniel, because I think that progressivism has a lot of ignorance attached to it. And not only do parents pass it down on the left, but the kids are indoctrinated in the public schools with a nonstop barrage of it. And the left uses kids for their political agenda even more than the right does.
We'll agree to disagree on that one. I mean, I think we could that could open up Pandora's box. I don't know where public schools are really using, you know, indoctrinating children. I mean,
oh, Daniel,
it's unless
Daniel.
I mean,
yeah, you got to start listening to my radio show, because I have examples of that almost every day, man.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not one of these liberals that just, you know, puts myself in the in a bubble. I think that's a problem just in the country today, left or right, is we get put in a bubble. We hear what we want to hear, and when it agrees with us, that's the source of news or information that we constantly turn to instead of having more of an open dialogue and a civil discourse. And that's why I think, you know, our Congress is so ineffective, not in our, you know, our Senate is so ineffective,
yeah.
Not to mention the 50-vote rule eliminates any kind of partisanship. But I watch Fox as well.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to hear what, you know, the other side's saying. And so, a lot of it's so trumped up, it's hard to listen to sometimes, pun totally intended.
I get it. So let's talk about your profession here, because you climb into the ring and you wear a shirt, a button-down shirt that has all these pictures of Hillary on it, right?
Yeah, I've gone away from Hillary, not because I'm any less of a supporter, I mean, but at the same time, she's not a relevant political candidate anymore. So I'm
right.
Now I wear come out to my ring jacket that's adorned with a progressive liberal on it.
Yeah.
And but it says on the back, but it's, you know, blue jacket, of course.
I like the Speedo, by the way, where in huge block letters it says progressive liberal across your butt.
Yeah, I've got that. I've got a couple pairs of those, one in blue and one, you know, both white and blue, interchangeable colors, and then I've got a blue up. But lately, I've been wearing a couple of new pairs. I've got one that says "Blue Wave" on the back and hashtag #Resist on the front. And I've got a Republicans love to live in the past a lot, so I thought I'd kind of take a page out of their playbook. And uh-huh. So I've got on the back of this new pair of trunks, it says "Hail to the Chief," and on the front, it has a picture of Barack Obama's face.
Wow.
Because, so, man, I wish we had that guy back.
Oh, man. That's another place where we're going to disagree. Okay, so, and I know you said you got away from Hillary, but I saw in one of the clips on Vice HBO that you body slammed your opponent, threw your arms in the air, and just screamed to the crowd, "Hillary!" So you,
yep.
That was your way of just antagonizing those red state wrestling crowds.
Yeah, I still do that.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. And do
they
you
still get just as worked up
and...
because we still have a president who's talking about his 2016 election victory, which he claims is the largest in history, but smart people understand that's not true.
But you realize, I'm sure, that our country is a billion times better off under Trump than if Hillary had won, I assume, right? You got to see that.
I think, well, I'll answer your question with a question.
Yeah.
You realize that he has not passed any meaningful economic legislation. His one claim to fame is the tax cut that he claims is the biggest in history. That's actually the eighth largest in history.
Right.
So that's a lie. And on top of that, most of the 80% of the benefits are going to the top 1%. Yeah,
but
that, never mentions that.
But that's not his biggest economic claim to fame. I mean, what really turbocharged
sure
the economy is that he cut so many regulations and businesses are investing in their companies and in America, and unemployment is at record low rates, and middle class income just went up. They announced last week went up 3.1%, the biggest jump for the middle class in more than a decade. You got to see some of that stuff, Daniel.
If I was him, I would claim credit for it too. Because now I'll give you this.
Yeah.
Democrats said prior to the election that if he was elected, the stock market would tank.
Right.
A lot of bad stuff would happen immediately. And that did not happen, in all fairness. However, his economic success is a continuation of Barack Obama's policies, without a doubt.
Please.
Oh, come on, man.
Come on,
look
Daniel.
If you look at a simple bar graph showing the progression in any different categories, you see a continuing upward trend. You see where it was at the bottom under the last Republican president.
What he's done is 180 degrees different than Obama, so you can't say it's a continuation. But you know what? Let's get past the politics. I want to talk wrestling with you. I really want to talk wrestling.
All right.
So what I saw in one of these shows is that, and by the way, I love talking with people who have a different viewpoint. I like that you and I can have conversations like this. This is good stuff.
I don't think, despite the, the role I play when I go into these red states, I am cheered some places too, side note, but mostly not. Because I'm in the South, I'm in the Southeast, so a lot of places I'm heavily booed.
But in those places, you got to be not only the evil villain, but you're supposed to lose, right? That's what they said in one of the shows that I watched.
I love Ellie with Vice and Oliver, but one misconception I think they had that we couldn't seem to shake them of is that I just lost all the time.
Like you were the Washington Generals of wrestling.
Not so much. I mean, to keep the, if I was just losing all the time, the people get the gratification they're so seeking. but if I beat their hero, whoever that country boy is, then they want to pay. Hopefully the idea is they pay their money again to see him, get his revenge and act his revenge upon me.
There you go. Okay. And why don't you take it on the road? What would happen if you came up here to Seattle, where everybody loves the progressive liberal? What would happen in the wrestling world if you came and did your gig here?
I've got wrestling boots and will travel, so I just go where they book me and where it makes sense and financially. So I'm open to. I wrestled in Pacific, Washington, I think back in 2005, but I was not the progressive liberal then.
No.
I was at heart, but not by name.
Okay. So when did you come up with this character?
It was in 2014 that I came up with it, but I didn't put it into practice until Trump had been a candidate for about 6 months in November of 2015.
Okay. All right. Well, good stuff. I enjoyed talking with you. You know, like Rocky Balboa,
Likewise. Like
Rocky Balboa said to the crowd in Moscow after the Ivan Drago fight, if they can change, if they can get together in the ring, the whole world can change. If you and I can have a conversation like this, progressive liberal, think of what can happen in this world.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're going to have differences of opinion. I mean, people have differences of opinion within their own party.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do you work together in spite of those differences? How can you be partisan and ultimately work for the people? That should be the idea, but we are far from that as a society. And I think that's a direct reflection of how we are at the top with our leadership. And you know, flows down from the top.
Well, just
my apologies for the language.
Yeah, I'll bleep it. Just because you're wrong on everything, we can still have a civil conversation. I like that.
I'd love to get into more of that whole regulation conversation, but it doesn't sound like we have enough time.
No, we're out of time. Daniel is the progressive liberal pro wrestler. Daniel, I enjoyed talking with you. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thanks for having me, Dory. Pleasure is mine.
Okay, all right. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. You can text us on the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. Getting lots of feedback on the progressive liberal that I just had on. Another liberal from the 253. Another liberal with blinders on, Dory. Of course they have to put blinders on horses because they're not that smart. Somebody asked if he had a head injury from wrestling. Dory, please remind this guy that Obama presided over the slowest recovery after a recession in our lifetime. It is bizarre to hear President Obama at those rallies claim that he's responsible for the economic recovery because it was the slowest. And as I said to my guest, what Trump's doing is 180 degrees different. Obama put the chokehold, to use a wrestling term, on companies and more regulations. And Trump has reduced regulations dramatically. He's said he was going to reduce two regulations for every one new one passed. It's been more like 20 that he's eliminated. And that's why business has been so optimistic. It just works. And you know, to suggest that the president doesn't have a lot to do with where the economy is right now, it's just, I mean, it's economically ignorant. Speaking of economically ignorant, the socialist darling, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she wants Medicare for all. She's going to be the 28-year-old member of Congress from the Bronx. And she was asked by Univision, Jorge Ramos, how are you going to pay for something that people, you know, analysts say is going to cost $33 billion. I'm sorry, trillion dollars, Medicare for all. And here's how progressive socialists pay for things.
Medicare for all. Mm-hmm. Is it too expensive?
No. People often say, like, how are you going to pay for it? And I find the question so puzzling because how do you pay for something that's more affordable? How do you pay for cheaper rent? How do you pay for it? You just pay for it.
It's nice how easy life is when you're economically ignorant. But sadly, it's how a lot of people, you know, not just her age, it's how a lot of people live their lives. And unfortunately, it's too much how Donald Trump is living his economic life. Yes, he has been part of a great economic recovery, but the trillions in debt that our nation has, but it's like the people. Oh, I'll pay for it. I have a credit card. But your income can't support buying that. I'll just pay for it. That's the attitude all too often. Fast 15's next.